set aside prayer. God, set aside everything I think I know about.
62.
God, help me set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book. What's best for me, what's best for others. Help me let go of all my old ideas. God, help me carry your message tonight. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Dino, we are on page 62. That's in 6-2. All right. Now, we're going to read four paragraphs tonight. And these paragraphs, I believe, have changed the world. And I think it's important to look at where we are, how we got to where we are at this point. We've studied the book. We've learned the problem in doctor's opinion. We had Bill's story, which told us of somebody who had the spiritual disease, an alcoholic, and how he recovered. Then in There's a Solution, they told us how we got the solution from Dr. Young of a spiritual change in our personality. Then in More About Alcoholism, they hammer home that if you're an alcoholic, there are two things that happen. One, if you take a drink, you can't control how much you drink. Anybody have that problem here?
Yeah.
And if you're sober without alcohol and you're breathing, you have no power not to take the next drink. Alcoholics are powerless not to take the first drink, and what happens is your mind will tell you sober that you need a drink. Anybody have that happen to them? Even if you've sworn you're never going to drink again, and that's called the obsession of the mind. And they end that chapter with a paragraph that makes it very clear. It says, there's no human power can relieve my alcoholism. My defense has to come from God. Get it? Now, a lot of people don't like that, so they have a whole chapter on We Agnostics, telling you to change your mind about God, telling you that you have no power to live, and that there is a power, that one is God, may you find him now. Then they tell us in that chapter where God is. He's inside of all of us. But I blocked him out. I didn't allow him to work. Now, I could have prayed to God and believed in God, but I didn't allow him to direct my life. So that was praying and believing didn't do me any good. And he was inside of me the whole time. And what did I block him out with? Worship of other things. Worship of myself, what I wanted, what I thought I needed. Anybody else do that? And it's telling you that God's there, and if you, there's nothing blocking you from the path and the highway to God but you. So then we read how it works. So there's a lot of work that went into getting to how it works. And how it works tells us that on page 59, I stood at the turning point. Alcohol is cunning, baffling, and powerful. Without help, it was too much for me. Anybody agree with that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I stood at the turning point. And that's where we are on page 62. So if I have no power to manage my life, and Jason described it very well, that's how I felt. I had no power not to drink. I believe that there was a power that can help me from going to meetings and hearing your stories and reading the book. The book is a testimony to that. Then I have to make a decision to allow God to work in my life. Now on page 60, we like to chant here. Those who are listening on the podcast, in Topeka we always chant after the ABCs. But we have to be convinced of these three things. It says in the original manuscript, if you're not convinced of the ABCs, reread the book or throw it away. Now, convinced means a real total conviction of the truth of this for yourself. It's not like, oh yeah, this is good stuff. It's no, this is the truth for me. I'm an alcoholic, I could not manage my life. No human power can have relieved it, and God could and would if he were sought. So if you're an alcoholic, what did they suggest? That you seek God. And if you seek him, he can and he will. So then on page 60, I think it's important that we see, I'm not going to call it review anymore because there's somebody who comes here doesn't like me to review, but I'm going to show you how we got to where we are so you can see the power of what we're going to read tonight. So then it says you're at step 3 and you're going to make this decision to turn your will, which is your thinking, and your life over to God as you understood him. They say the first requirement is that I be convinced that my life on self-will can hardly be a success and will never be successful. To be convinced of that. So then they're going to take the next two paragraphs to describe how I played God. I was an actor running the whole show. Anybody else do that? I thought I was very good at it. But the problem is nobody liked me. They didn't like me running their show. Anybody else have that problem? Oh, can I tell you something that I had a profound spiritual awakening? I'm not going to tell what I told Jessica. I found the perfect thing every alcoholic needs to have. It's these birds you get. They come in a cage, and they chirp. And you push this button, and you can talk, and they'll talk back to you. And so I said to my granddaughter, I say, tell the bird, Michael's wonderful. Play it back. Michael's wonderful. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that's positive reinforcement. And I said, now play it for grandmother, so she can hear that. You get the picture? And so it's the perfect thing for an alcoholic, because we never get enough. You see, you can keep playing it over and over and over again. It'll still never be enough, you know. I thought that was funny. Nobody else liked it. All right. We're going to delete that from the tape. All right. Stop it. So we're an actor running the whole show. And if only people would do as I wished, it would be great. Anybody think that? But it was never good enough, was it? I had some good days. Things went well. But then I'd worry about tomorrow. They might not go as well. Or I would think of something that happened the day before that maybe didn't go as well. And then I used all these tricks to get my way. I tried to be virtuous, considerate, patient, kind, generous, even modest and self-sacrificing. That didn't work. I was mean, egotistical, selfish, and dishonest. And I could be mean, egotistical, selfish, and dishonest, and 5 minutes later, be virtuous, kind, considerate, patient, generous, and didn't understand why people were looking at me strangely and didn't like me. And what happened? The show didn't come off very well. That's my life. Nobody came here because the show went well. And when the show doesn't go well, I don't feel good. And when I don't feel good, what does my mind tell me to do? Take something to make it feel better. So you see the relationship between playing God and alcohol and drugs? If we play God, we're going to use a drink. So I say life doesn't treat me right. Isn't that our theme song? And so then I decide to exert myself more. I'm going to try harder, right? To get what? To get my way. And so still the play never suits me. Do you understand that? It was true for me. The play never goes well enough. And I'm sure other people to blame, even though I am some at fault. Now, here's the thing. I became angry. Anybody angry in here? Indignant or self-pity? Now, listen. This is true when I came here, but it can be true today. That's why this turning point that we're going to be at in the beginning of your recovery is the turning point you have to make every day in your life. So then they say, what is my trouble? So here, if you're new, here's your trouble. They ask you 6 questions. This is what's wrong with you. You were a self-seeker even when trying to be kind. You're always thinking of yourself. I was a victim of the delusion that I could wrest satisfaction, happiness out of the world if I managed well. Now, I like to read that 10 times. I won't do it tonight. You'll all walk out. But I had a delusion. My whole life was this delusion. It's something in my mind that I made up that I believed that wasn't true, that if I could just manage well, I'd be happy. I tried so hard. Anybody try hard? And is it not evident to the rest of the players that this is all I wanted, that I'm trying to manage their lives to get what I want? Do not my actions make them wish to retaliate, snatching all they can get out of the program? So people would do things to me, and I'd say, well, why are they doing that? Because they're reacting to me trying to run their show. And at the best moments, I'm a producer of confusion rather than harmony. People don't know how to deal with us. So that is my basic trouble. You see how it's written? We have to be convinced that life's self-will can never work. This is how we played God. This is my basic trouble. Then you turn the page. And at the end of the top paragraph, they say, whatever my protestations, my bitterness or indignation at being treated unfairly, was I not concerned with myself, my resentments, my self-pity? Now they're going to tell us, they ask us, what is our basic trouble? Six questions. Now they're going to tell me what it's rooted in. Those questions are rooted in my selfishness. That's the root of all my trouble. Now, we're going to learn in AA that all we have to do is replant our tree. Take it out of the Michael soil and put it in the God soil. That's the whole program in a nutshell. My life was rooted in me and what I wanted, and I need to root my life in God and what God wants for me and how I can carry out His plan. Now, this is a major change for an alcoholic. Most alcoholics die because they can't even see that their tree's planted in the wrong soil. And if they do, they don't want to change it. You're not going to tell me to change my soil. Now, I may be dying and living on the street, but it's my soil. I'm not going to change it. And that's why we die. It sounds crazy, but that's the deal. So, and our troubles were driven when we're in our soil by fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. And I stepped on people's toes and they retaliated. Anybody retaliate at you stepping on their toes?
Oh, yeah.
And then you can't. And then you'd say, how that happened? What are they doing? Where'd they come from? And then here's the key. I invariably found that at some time in the past, I made decisions based on self when I'm in the Michael soil, which put me in a position to be hurt and to hurt other people. Does anybody still feel bad about some of the things you did to the people you loved and to yourself? Because I made decisions based on self. So I don't want to do that. I don't want to play God, right? I know what my basic troubles are, those six questions. The root of it's in self. You see how this is written? It follows beautifully. So then it says our troubles, here we go, all of our troubles. That means everything that I think is wrong in my life is of my own making. Son of a bitch. But you know what? I still feel that's the best promise in the big book. See, I can't change the out there, but I can change me. You get it? And that's what the book is about. How do I change me so the problems don't arise out of me and I'm not an extreme example of self-will run riot? I can change. I do not have to be self-centered anymore. I can be God-centered. Now, I brought some new cards in yesterday and they're all gone. I'll get some more. But we have the left and the right-hand side of the card. My trouble is I lived on the left-hand side. And not only did I live there, but I was good at it. Anybody else good at being self-centered? I was very good at it. I was very good at judgment. I was very skilled. I was on the all-pro team. In Akron, they have like a AA Hall of Fame of self-centeredness. And I think I should be in judgment. I think I should be there. And what did it get me? It ruined my life. My fear, my selfishness, my dishonesty, my self-seeking. So it says above everything. Now, what's above everything? Nothing. We must be rid of this. Now, how much selfishness do you have to be rid of to be successful at AA? All of it, all the time. So the rest of the steps are designed to help me get rid of my selfishness all the time, moment by moment. It's a lifetime job. It's baby steps, like Corey said. It's all the time. Different things come up. I have to do it. Why? It's going to kill me. Now, how can self-will run riot kill me? Because when I'm self-will run riot, I don't feel good. And then I want to change the way I feel. Get the picture? Mm-hmm. So selfishness and alcohol was the solution for my self-will run riot. It wasn't a good one. Did anybody wonder why when you first drank or used it felt so good? Because you're treating this lifetime of being upset that the world not being run the way you want it. Now, you didn't actually know that, but it didn't say in the bottle, this will treat your self-centeredness. And there's a warning label in every bottle of alcohol. It will run out. Did you know that? That was funny. Nobody laughed. All right. So anyway, I'd stop it. All right. So, do you see why it's going to kill you? Now, it kills us in several ways. You may not drink or use, but you'll die spiritually. And you'll be miserable. Your whole life will be miserable. And you'll say, well, I go to AA and I'm sober 10 years. And why has nothing changed? Well, because you haven't changed. You haven't treated your disease yet. You still have the same personality that you had when you came in here. Now, who gets rid of this? God makes it possible. And we can't get rid of it entirely without his aid. We can get rid of some of it, but not entirely. And God does it all. But he not only makes it possible, but he does it. Anybody believe that? Anybody have that happen to him? Sure. It's powerful when you experience that. That's the faith without works is dead. When you have trust, because God's doing for you what you cannot do for yourself. So we tried to do better, but we could not reduce my self-centeredness by wishing or trying on my own power. Why? I can't treat my self-centeredness with my self-centered mind. My self-centered mind is not going to wake up and say, Michael, you're self-centered. This is what you need to do today so you won't be self-centered. It's not possible because you can't treat a sick mind with a sick mind. I had to have God's help. So this is where we are right now. We know we can't drink. We can't stop drinking on our own, and we can't control how much we drink. We can't manage our own lives. We believe that there is a power that can help us. God's down inside of all of us. I've blocked him out. Good job, Michael. I'm going to decide now that he's going to be my director. He's going to run my life. Why? Because when I played God, it didn't work. The show didn't come off well, right? I know what my basic troubles are, and they arise out of me living in my self-centered soil. And it's going to kill me, and I need God's help. So you see why this is a powerful decision we're making? It's not lip service. I can't, he cannot let him. I mean, it sounds good, but that's not the deal. It has to come in here. Like Gary's going to talk later. He'll talk about how he surrendered, right, buddy? And he gave it up, and he was convinced that surrender in the third step is really powerful. It drives the whole deal. You're turning your car around. You're turning your compass around. You're turning the whole direction of your life around. And in the beginning, it's powerful. Now, if you do it, then that will force you to go down the path to allow God to direct your life. So it says, this is the how and why of it. I had to quit playing God. Now, I didn't come in here to my first meeting and say, you know, I'm self-will run riot. I've been playing God. The play didn't go off well. You know, nobody comes in here and says that. Everybody comes in here and says, you know, they didn't do what I wanted, and this didn't work out, and, you know, bad things are happening in my life. I couldn't see it, but I can see it now. That's why it's so important to get people in the book right away, so we can see what our real problem is and what we need to do about it. It didn't work because I wasn't God. Now, here's the thing. I should have been locked up. Maybe I still should. I don't know. But I lived in this world that I created where I was running the world. That's insane, isn't it? But now that I look at the world, a lot of people do that. But we're extreme examples of that. And it kills us as alcoholics because we drink or use over it. I was playing God. I lived in a world I created where I decided what everybody should do and what I needed to be happy. Now, when I lived in that world, I was irritable, restless, and discontent, full of fear, anger, and shame, and guilt, and I hurt people, and I hurt myself. So it didn't work. And it didn't work because I'm not God. So I'm going to decide hereafter in this drama of life, God's going to be my director. Anybody think that's a good idea? Now, this is a really important line because you're saying hereafter in the drama. Now, where's the drama of life? In your head. It's not out there. There's drama in my head that I've created. And when my head has drama, God can't direct it. Now, what is the drama in my head? All my resentments, all my fears, all my old ideas, all my shame and guilt, everything I thought I knew. So hereafter, starting now, God's going to direct the drama of my life. Now, why do I make this point? Because a lot of people don't know why they do the fourth step. And it should be done right away. They're going to tell you next and at once because you have to get rid of the drama in your head that you bring here so God can now direct it. And step four is you're going to face and be rid of the things blocking you from God. You're going to review your personality and you're going to review the things in your head that are blocking you from God to face and be rid of them. Does this make sense? So hereafter, that's the key word, hereafter, starting now in the drama of life, God's going to direct me. But remember, my drama of my life, my mind was like a 7-Eleven, remember? And my 7-Eleven store, you go walk in or quick shop, you walk in and everything on the floor that they sell is all my anger. And it's full. Don't worry, the store has a lot of merchandise. And everything in the refrigerators is my fear. And then they always have that little room in the back, and that's my shame and guilt for my harmful actions. Now, God cannot run that store. I'm running it. So I have to get rid of all that crap so God can manage my life. Is this, you get the picture? That's why the decision in step three won't do you any good unless followed at once by a vigorous course of action. So in the drama of the life, God's going to be my director. He is the principal, we are his agents. That's an insurance thing. The insurance agents don't set the policies. The principal does, the carrier. He is the father and we are his children. Now I wrote here, all of us, we're all his children, remember? All of us, and we have to love all of God's children. Love your neighbors yourself. Now, this is a good idea. Anybody think it's good? And it's simple. This concept, this idea that God's going to be the director hereafter in the drama of my life is the keystone of this arch to freedom. Now, when I came in here, I was living in the world I created, remember? Where I was playing God. I was in bondage to self. I'm now building an arch through which I can walk through, and I'm no longer in bondage to self. I'll be in the world of the Spirit. Now, what started the building of the arch? Jason mentioned it. Willingness from pain and suffering from playing God. Anybody else have that? Then the cornerstone is I believed that there was a power that could help me. And then the keystone that's going to hold the arch is this idea that God's going to be my director. And I pass through it to freedom. Anybody want to be free of the bondage yourself? Well, you've got to make this decision, and then you have to do it the rest of your life. And you have to follow through on the actions of 4 through 9. That's how you build the arch. Now, how long do you have before you drink till you build 4 through 9 and you get through the arch? Well, I don't know. That's why you need to get through the steps quickly. You have to start that relationship with God because it says on page 84, we've now entered the world of the Spirit. And when you enter the world of the Spirit, where the real world is, it says you're not fighting everyone or everybody. God can tell you the truth about alcohol. You'll recoil from a hot flame. Those are the 10-step promises. Now, you think it's a lot of work. You know, everybody say, oh, I can't do all that. Take 63 and go to 84 and see if you can hold this up. Anybody hold this up? It's not very much, is it? This is all you need to do to get a relationship with God in the world of the Spirit. Do you see that? But we think, oh my God, what are they asking me to do? God, is he ever going to shut up? All right. So then when you take this position that God's going to be your director, hereafter in the drama of the life, he's going to run the show. When you take the position, you're at the turning point. Remember we read, Brian read it very well. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. That's what we're doing right now for the first time. And then I need to do it every day, all the time. But when you come in here, you're going to reach the turning point. Now you're going to do this and turn away from yourself to God or not. And then remember, you have to follow through with the actions to remove the drama in your head so God can direct it. Now if you take this position, this is what I call the third step promises. All sorts of remarkable things follow. Now I got a new employer. One, I don't work for me anymore and what I want. I work for God. When they used to drive me crazy at the hospital, I'd say, well, you know, I work for God. I don't work for the second floor. It made me feel better. It kept me from resentments and this and that. You understand, we work for God now. As long as I work for God and I know who I'm working for, it changes the focus of my life. Now, God's all powerful. Everybody agree with that? Now, here's our contract with God. I have new people write it out. I put contract with God right on the back of the book. My job, I'm going to stay close to God. It says if I keep close to him and perform his work well. Those are my two jobs. Stay close to God and do his work well. Is that very complicated? His job is to give me everything I need. Isn't that a great deal? So why would I have fear anymore, right? I'm going to get everything I need. All I have to do is stay close to God and do his work well. So God has fear now. Anybody be glad to give God fear and worry? So when I worry and I have fear, I'm doing God's job. That's not my job. My job is to stay close to him and do his work well. Now, how do I get close to him? The steps 4 through 9, living in 10 and 11. Conscious contact with God. Remember 7:11 says, we're trying to improve our conscious contact with God. Asking for what? Only knowledge of his will for me, that's all I need to know, and the power to carry that out. That's all I have to do every day. The rest is all, if I do that, my days will be good. And what is God's work? Well, we carry a vision of God's will in all of our activities. We want to be of love and service to everybody, right? We want to love our neighbors, ourselves. We want to practice love, patience, tolerance, kindness, considerate, compassion. Now, it says if you're established on such a footing, so you're hereafter making this decision, God's going to be your director, this is the footing of your life, that God's going to be your employer, you're going to work for him and stay close to him, you give him worry, he gives you everything you need. If you're on this footing, then you're less interested in yourselves, obviously, right? Our little plans and designs. More and more, you see, I'm turning the whole focus of my life. My whole life was focused on me. Now I'm turning it to God. I'm turning it. Just the idea of turning it for an alcoholic is a powerful thing. Now how we follow through with this is the rest of the steps. I'm going to be interested to see what I can contribute to life. How's that? Instead of what I'm going to get or what I need. And then I feel new power flow in. Anybody felt that when they do this? I know when I did it the first time, but I feel it now. I can feel it. I'm deciding this is what I want to do. I feel the power. Remember, you keep getting more power from God. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continuous process, and you keep getting more revealed. You keep getting closer. And then you enjoy new peace of mind. You don't have the drama of your life in your head anymore. You're getting some peace of mind. Anybody want peace of mind? That's all I really wanted when I came in here. I didn't want things. I just didn't want to live in fear and anger and self-pity anymore. I just wanted peace. I didn't want the drama anymore. And then I discover I can face life successfully. It doesn't mean that my life's successful. That's not what it says. I can face it. So no matter what's happening out there, my son can die, things can happen. I can face it successfully. And as I do, I become conscious of God's presence. This is the beginning of your spiritual awakening. And guess what? You begin to lose your fear. Why? You work for God. He's going to give you everything you need. All you have to do is stay close to Him and do His work well. And you're being reborn. How are you being reborn? You're changing the whole focus of your life. You're changing your mind. You're repenting. You're turning away from yourself to God. And that's the beginning of any kind of spiritual awakening. Now we have the step three prayer. Now, the step three prayer, a lot of people say it every day. It's a good prayer, but it becomes rote. But what you have to remember is why you're saying it. You're saying it because God's going to be your director in the drama of your life today. You just want to stay close to Him and do His work well. You're at the turning point. You don't want to plant your root in the wrong soil. So the prayer says, God, I offer myself to Thee. Some people don't like it because they don't like the word Thee. They're dying of alcoholism, but they don't like the wording. Anybody get the picture? To build with me and do with me as Thou wilt. So I heard somebody say, if they would just take the Thee and the Thou's out. I said, why don't you take yourself out of it? Can you see it? Can you see how the self-centeredness is looking at this? That I don't like the Thee and the Thou's. I'm dying. I'm not going to say the prayer. Relieve me of the bondage of self. Relieve me of it. Who suffers when I'm in bondage to self? See, I do. And who puts me there? I do. That I may better do Thy will. That's the only reason I want to do this, so I can do God's will, not so I get the wife back or the car, or more money or whatever. I don't want things. I want to be able to do God's will. Why? That will make me feel good. That's how you build self-esteem. I was a delusion that I could rest satisfaction and happiness on imagining will. The truth is, I can rest satisfaction and happiness allowing God to manage my life and then just doing His will for me. Take away my difficulties. So I've asked people, what are difficulties? I looked it up. Situations which are difficult. Well, now, does anybody ever had situations during the day that are difficult? Who makes them difficult? We do. We don't like the way they are. So God's going to take them away that I can have victory over. And what they're telling me, and this is very powerful, is situations don't have to have power over me anymore. I have power over it through the way God helps me see it. That I may bear witness as the testimony to those I would help of Thy power, Thy love, Thy way of life. May I do Thy will always. Now, I hope I'm bearing witness to this to someone tonight. When you do this with someone new, you're bearing witness. Now, this book is a witness to this. When the foreword to the first edition, they had a hopeless condition of mind and body. They're writing this book. Something happened. So they're bearing witness to that. Now, here's the warning. We thought well. Don't think too long. Remember, you're an alcoholic. It says we thought well before taking this step. We're making sure. We want to make sure then I'm ready. Am I ready to do this? Now, I was ready to do it because of the pain and suffering of step one. And I believed I could do it. And I was at the turning point. I can at last abandon myself utterly to Him. Now, how much of yourself do you abandon to God? 100%. But remember, we read progress, not perfection. That's what they're talking about. We're not ever able to do that because we're human beings and we're made to live on self-will. We have to turn away from ourselves. And so we have to do this every day, all the time. Does this make sense? Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, this has to really be understood in right here, or else you're not going to do steps 4 through 9. And that's why people die. They give lip service to 1, 2, and 3, but they haven't really decided. They have to surrender completely. And then each day, we evaluate during the day how well we're doing, and at night we review. 10 and 11 is how we learn to live every day, getting out of self, replanting our tree, Michael saw the God soil all day long. And the more you do this, it becomes automatic. You know you're disturbed. I'm in the wrong soil. I was telling Jessica yesterday, I had a spiritual awakening during the meeting, after the meeting, and you know, I realized that something that I was thinking about really is, it just doesn't make any sense. It was all in my head. So, I hope this was helpful. We're going to pick up then with step four, and I may next week, I wrote some thoughts on step three, they're on the site, and I thought they were pretty good, and I'm going to probably copy them and we'll read them like we did Faith Without Works. Is that okay? Because it helps put it in perspective. I think step three is something we really need to know. And then I've done the steps we took and carry this message on step three. They're on the podcast. Now, I went a little longer, but I wanted to cover all this, put it in perspective tonight. And so we'll pick this up next week. Thank you.